Support for the Exchange podcast from NHPR comes from you, our subscribers,
and New Hampshire School Administrators Association, representing school superintendents and administrators, championing the education of children in our state every day since 1941. In today's ever-changing world, public education matters, and so does its leaders. Online at nhsaa.org.
And from the New Hampshire Department of Agriculture, Markets, and Food. New Hampshire's farms and farmers markets are full of fresh goods, rich with agricultural heritage, and available all year long. You can locate pick-your-own farms, farmers markets, fairs, and more near you using the directories at visitnh.gov/agriculture.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. A substance called CBD has become the hot cure-all of the moment, with promises to ease conditions from the common headache to Alzheimer's. The name CBD is short for cannabidiol. It's a marijuana derivative, but doesn't contain the THC that brings on the high. And just in the past year, CBD marketing and use has exploded across the country, including here in New Hampshire. Offered in oils, tinctures, pills, creams, even recommended for your pet. But scientific research about CBD remains scarce, and like other dietary supplements, it's not regulated, so it's hard to know what you're really getting. For example, a study 2 years ago in the Journal of American Medicine found 70% of CBD products did not contain what was promised on the label. Today in The Exchange, what we know and don't know about CBD and what its future might be in our overall health. Let's hear from you. Our email, exchange@nhpr.org. Your questions and comments about CBD are welcome. exchange@nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Joining me for the full hour is Dr. Stuart Glassman. He's rehabilitation medicine physician at Granite Physiatry in Concord. He's represented the New Hampshire Medical Society on the Therapeutic Cannabis Advisory Council. And Dr. Glassman, welcome back. It's always good to see you.
Good to see you, Laura. Thank you.
Later in the hour, we'll bring in several other voices into our conversation. And again, we want to hear from you, 1-800-892-6477. Well, Dr. Glassman, just around town, all over New Hampshire, wherever you go, CBD seems to be everywhere. What do you make of this explosion in sales and marketing of this?
Well, I think that certainly there's been a desire for CBD to offer hope for patients, to potentially provide relief for a number of different conditions, whether it's insomnia, anxiety, chronic pain. But unfortunately, the research is not there yet, because it's been difficult to research marijuana in general, THC and CBD as well. So I think that there's a significant desire from the patient and the public standpoint to be able to access it and use it. But because it's not a medicine other than Epidiolex, which came out late last year, which is FDA approved, there's more promise than proof right now, I would say, for it.
What does it say about our society, Dr. Glassman, this sort of search for a cure in a bottle that has led to, again, this explosion in marketing and use?
Right. Well, I think if we look back at how pharmaceutical companies are looked at, I mean, there was a big, congressional hearing yesterday where they were grilled for raising prices, especially for, life-saving drugs like insulin. That's a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths about what the pharmaceutical companies have done. Keep that in mind as you understand, as THC and CBD become more mainstream, there's no doubt that the same pharmaceutical companies may enter the fray in this entire scenario.
So part of this is a reaction to big pharma, not just raising prices, but also selling us products like opioids, which has not worked out well for some people.
Exactly. And obviously, the fact that medications come with side effects, they're not cheap. And if you're looking for a more holistic way of doing things, well, I think that's been a lot of the discussion about why marijuana in general, a plant that's been around for 3,000 years, has had such allure and appeal.
So what are you hearing from patients, Dr. Glassman, for CBD? What are you hearing them say? Hey, Dr. Glassman, I've had this longstanding backache. Can you give me some CBD for that?
Yep. I've heard, stories from patients that they've used it of their own choosing. Friends of the family as well have mentioned that they've, used it on their own, and it's helped with certain things. Anxiety, insomnia, are some of the areas where it's certainly been beneficial for them. Again, anecdotal information, single case, information about their experience. I think we'll always find, those stories out there.
Well, a little bit later in the hour, we'll talk to a doctor at Harvard who's looked at the research and the big gaps in that research, as you suggest, Dr. Glassman. So setting that aside for just a moment, a little bit of technical definition, if you could. CBD, cannabidiol, what is that? Is it part of the marijuana plant, the hemp plant?
Sure.
What's the difference, for the uninitiated here?
Exactly. So cannabidiol is one of the cannabinoids that are in marijuana and in hemp, actually. And there's over 100 different cannabinoids in the marijuana plant. The difference between hemp and marijuana in general is that they're kind of like cousins in the plant family, and hemp is required to have less than 0.3% THC.
Oh, wow, that's very small.
Yep, very small compared to marijuana in and of itself. So you can actually get CBD from either source. I've actually tried to find exactly how you get it from the hemp plant versus how you get it from the marijuana plant. And I may be incorrect here, but it seems that some of the CBD from the hemp side comes from the seed, whereas the CBD from the marijuana plant, both of which are strains of cannabis sativa, actually comes from the flower and the stalk. So there's probably a different way of processing how you get the CBD in and of itself. There may be others that know in more detail, but it's been really hard to pinpoint how you get it out of which plant you're talking about.
Well, clearly you've learned a lot in your time on the advisory committee.
Sure.
Did you ever imagine when you first started practicing medicine that you would be able to give me a reasonably cogent explanation of the various compounds of marijuana and hemp?
Well, in a way, it goes back to biochemistry, which we had to take in medical school and
we
had to take in college. And so it's not that far off. But again, I think in my specialty, physical medicine and rehabilitation, we have had patients with spinal cord injury and muscle spasticity, multiple sclerosis, where Marinol, which was an FDA-approved THC synthetic type of medication, was approved years ago for treatments. So sure, 20 years ago, did I think I'd be sitting here today talking about it? No, but it actually sort of, is not that far off for where medicine has progressed over the decades.
Again, our number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org. Again, today we're looking at the substance known as CBD, cannabidiol, whose marketing and sales, as you probably noticed, have exploded in recent years. We're looking at some of the promises that are being made about what CBD can cure, from anxiety to chronic pain to Alzheimer's. But we're also looking at how there are a lot of holes in research. It's pretty scanty in terms of what we know and don't know about CBD. We'd love to hear from you. Again, our number, 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-6477. NHPR. Here's an email from Douglas in New London, Dr. Glassman. Douglas says, there is relatively little research on CBD and THC, which makes it important to pay attention to the high-quality scientific research that is available. Several large studies, Douglas says, show that prenatal exposure to cannabis is related to serious problems, including low birth weight of infants and depression in youths. Given this, Douglas says, what information is available about CBD effects on development? Should laws restrict CBD use to adults, as we do with alcohol, at least until more research on safety is available? Douglas, thank you so much for the email. And what do you think about this, Dr. Glassman?
One of the other commissions that I've been on was the Governor's Commission that looked at the question of marijuana legalization over the past year, if it ever is legalized. And we talked about these, studies, a lot of it funded through the National Institute for Drug Abuse, NIDA, and the NIH. And there are definitely many concerns about, prenatal exposure, low birth weight, birth effects. Any of the marijuana compounds, come with risks, and you really can't downplay it because you're doing a disservice to your patients and your friends and family if you say it's not a concern.
For example, maybe safe for regular adult use, but maybe a pregnant woman should think twice before she rubs, CDB oil on her neck if it's
without
stiff.
A doubt, because, where's the research on how it causes, long-term, changes in the fetus? I mean, obviously, we referenced some of that in the email, but certainly if you're making a decision for your unborn child, you have to do it with the best science available as well.
And there's just not a lot of good science at this point,
exactly.
It sounds like. Well, Douglas, thank you for that email. Again, you can email us, exchange@nhpr.org, or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Facebook or Twitter is great, too. It's NHPR Exchange. Again, our email, exchange@nhpr.org. Dr. Glassman, I want to bring another voice into our conversation. Carrie James is with us. She's co-founder at Clearly Better Days in Loudoun, New Hampshire, which sells CBD products online and in stores. And Carrie, it's great to have you. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me, Laura. I'm a big fan, so it's really nice to talk to you.
Oh, well, great. Well, how and when, Carrie, did you guys start selling CBD products?
So we started actually selling about a year ago now. We're a couple years into researching and developing our products. We've been actively in business for about a year.
And what kind of CBD products do you sell, Carrie? Because I've seen tinctures, I've seen ointments, I've seen capsules. So what do you guys specialize in?
So, we roll out products kind of slowly because we want to make sure that we're doing everything to the best of our abilities. So we started with a tincture. It's an oil-based tincture. We do salves, we do soft gels. We are just starting to explore the edible market. And we also offer patches and things like that.
So, oh, wow. So a wide variety.
Yeah.
So what do your customers say, Carrie, that they use it for?
Boy, it really runs the gamut. It's quite amazing, all of the things that people report it working for. A lot of people call us about anxiety and depression. They call us about, chronic pain, things like that. We're finding almost every day we get feedback from someone that it's just, for the first time ever, they're able to sleep in years, things like that. So, we don't make any claims. We know that we really shouldn't make claims because we don't know. There isn't a lot of research about every single thing that it's possible to use on. So we really just try to educate people about the endocannabinoid system.
Wow. And what do you say about the endocannabinoid system?
Well, one of the things we do as a company is we really try to educate people. So we offer workshops as well as in-store demos and employee training for our clients that are selling our products. We really try to just break down what the system does, which is create homeostasis in the body. And how the things that they're looking to use CBD for might be affected by the way the endocannabinoid system works and the way that CBD interacts with it.
I got to ask you this, Carrie. I've been in journalism for a long time, and so I've seen sort of fads come and go, and my sort of skeptical radar goes
sure.
up when I see a product that claims to fix anything from anxiety to chronic pain to, that funny feeling you have in your left foot. I mean, I just wonder, how do you feel about this wide, wide array of claims that are made about CBD?
Right. It sounds preposterous, doesn't it?
Right.
We try to break that down for people because the endocannabinoid system is a far-reaching system in the body. So it's interacting with so many different parts of us. So that's why we really concentrate on that end of things to show people that, it might help with pain in your foot. It might help with a headache and how that's possible. And it really comes down to that endocannabinoid system being far-reaching.
Well, as you know, Carrie, unlike medicines, dietary supplements are unregulated. And a few years ago, a massive study found some products labeled as a certain vitamin or herb, you probably remember this, it was a couple years ago, ended up being mostly filler like rice flour,
that the amounts advertised were false. In some cases, you know, something advertised as an echinacea capsule, for example, didn't even have echinacea in it. It had like potato starch or something. I mean, how do you ensure that your CBD products are what they say they are?
Testing. That's the most important thing. If anybody's looking at a CBD product, you want to make sure that you are seeing certificates of analysis from a third-party lab. So that's a big thing. So we get our CBD oil from Colorado, and it's tested by the company that creates it. It's tested by a third-party lab, and then we test as well. So, you know, it really comes down to that science. We want to make sure we're leaning on that testing lab, that we're making sure that what we say is in there is in there, because it is a confusing market. And when we first started looking at it, we saw, you know, you can find it in a gas station, which is a huge red flag to me.
Yeah, right.
You know? So that's why we set out to do this for ourselves, because we knew it was important, and we knew that we had, we know what our ethics are. We know what our morals are. And we use that to guide every step that we do.
Because in 2017, there was a Journal of the American Medical Association study that found that 70% of CBD products didn't contain what they said they contained. Sometimes it was less. Sometimes it was more. Sometimes there was a little THC thrown in there, which, you know, again, if you're giving it to a child, maybe you want to think twice about that. So there's a real need for quality control here.
Exactly. You can't be careful enough. Yeah, and this unregulated landscape is really hard to navigate, you know. So that's why we really, you know, strive to make sure that we are covering our bases every time.
Well, so Carrie, would you at Clearly Better Days, would you guys like to see regulation of this product?
Yeah, sensible regulation is a great idea. You know, making sure that good manufacturing processes and things like that are being done. Yeah. Definitely.
So that customers know what they're getting. For example, you know, if you buy a bottle of wine, it says 12% alcohol, 13.5% alcohol. You kind of know what's in there.
I think some consistent labeling would be the first step, you know, to make sure that what's on the bottle is consistent across the board for every different company.
What are some of the common questions, Carrie, that you get from your customers?
Dosing. You know, and we don't talk about dosing because we're not doctors. So that's the first thing. You know, we always want people to talk to their healthcare providers the entire time, you know, and work with them and make sure that they're being, you know, if they choose to use this, that they're being monitored for anything that might come up that might be disconcerting. So a lot of people ask, you know, how to get started with dosing, how to actually use the product. So if somebody puts a tincture in your hand, how, you know, what do you do with it? So that's a lot of the stuff that we're explaining to people.
Where would you like to see this industry go, Carrie, as somebody who's involved in it and who clearly cares about, you know, quality?
Yeah. I'd like to see some regulations, you know, some standards. But all of that stuff has to make sense. It has to, you know, a big company shouldn't get precedent over a small company like us over money. So I want to be able to afford testing, and I want to be able to afford to, you know, meet any standards, you know, so not pushing out the little guy, but at the same time, you know, making sure that it's not just about money and no unscrupulous things are happening.
Yeah, it's a concern we often hear. You know, some regulation would be welcome, but don't make it so overwhelming that the little guys can't compete with some of the big guys who are looking at getting involved in this product. Carrie, it's been really good to talk to you. Thank you very much for your time.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me.
That's Carrie James, co-founder at Clearly Better Days in Loudoun, New Hampshire, which, as we heard, sells CBD products online and in stores. Coming up, Dr. Glassman will have a couple follow-up questions for you on that. And also, we'll start going to our listeners. The number is 1-800-892-6477. Email is great, exchange@nhpr.org. We're taking your questions, comments, personal experiences with the substance known as CBD. All that's coming up. Stay with us.
Civics 101 has done hundreds of shows about how the government works.
But we realized that we missed a step, something bigger.
All right, step right up, gentlemen. Don't miss your chance to commit treason.
Our nation, our government, is all built on paper and ink.
That's why we made a 6-part series on the founding documents, the pieces of paper that make us us, or rather, we. Subscribe or listen online at civics101podcast.org. Civics 101 is a production of NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today, CBD, marketing and sales of this marijuana derivative, have exploded recently with lots of promises that CBD can cure whatever ails you. We're looking at what we know and don't know about CBD, and we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Again, exchange@nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. With me for the hour, Dr. Stuart Glassman, rehabilitation medicine physician at Granite Physiatry in Concord. He's represented the New Hampshire Medical Society's Therapeutic Cannabis Advisory Council. And Dr. Glassman, before we go back to our listeners, just a couple thoughts from what we heard from Carrie James there at Clearly Better Days. You know, clearly someone who cares about the quality of what she's selling, concerned that you can pick up, you know, your gasoline and a bag of chips and some CBD at the gasoline convenience store. What did you pull out of what we heard from Carrie there?
Well, sure. Well, I think Carrie clearly, is trying to deliver a great product for her customers, for patients. She clearly is an advocate, for doing the right thing. And it's important to realize that, there is a lack of regulation, in this entire CBD market, primarily outside of, Epidiolex, which is available, FDA approved for pediatric seizures. So one way to look at how do you ensure that you know what you're getting. And this really comes from the cannabis side of regulation for the dispensaries, not only in New Hampshire, but in other states, is something called seed-to-sale tracking, which means—
Seed-to-sale.
Yeah, right. So from when the seed is created and what comes first, the plant or the seed, it gets a barcode. You know exactly where it came from. As it moves along the pathway to create the final product, which is sold to the customer— barcodes continue to be introduced along the way. So you can know exactly where that product that you're buying in the store, at your dispensary, if you talk about the sort of, marijuana side, you can track back where it came from.
Oh, that's interesting. This is the therapeutic cannabis side. So
right,
you're
right,
saying here
right.
In New Hampshire anyway, therapeutic cannabis is pretty closely monitored.
Exactly. And as we talked about that, looking at the potential for legalization, that was one of the take-home points that we as the commission really came up with, which was you want to know what you're getting, where it's coming from, make sure stuff is not coming from the black market, and know what you're getting. So there would be a way for CBD to look at the fact that better tracking would ensure what the consumer is ultimately getting. As well. So that's one thing. And the other thing that I want to mention that Carrie talked about, the endocannabinoid system, which is very complex in the human body. I have to thank Dr. Greg Carter, who told me everything I ever knew and then some about the endocannabinoid system. One of the interesting issues between CBD and THC is called the entourage effect, which means that CBD alone may not be as effective in certain situations and treatments as combined with THC. So therefore, we may not want to put everything we believe for the future just in CBD alone, because the truth is the complexity of the endocannabinoid system is such that you may not actually get as much of a benefit if you just use one product alone.
Oh, that's interesting. So they work in concert with each other.
Exactly. Correct.
The THC, which is everybody in this industry is, very quick to say, no THC here, or tiny amounts.
Yep.
So if you're going to get the full effectiveness, you're saying, Dr. Glassman, you might need some of the THC.
And that's where the research comes from, and that's where, again, we're sort of stuck at the point where we can't do the full research that a lot of physicians, a lot of consumers, and a lot of drug companies would want to have done.
Yeah, so, and you need to double up on those concerns that we talked about earlier in terms of pregnant women.
Yep.
And also young people, because, again, the brain is developing, and
right.
You really don't want to introduce these substances to the developing
and
brain.
And for the FDA-approved Epidiolex, it's important to understand. So that was for pediatric seizures, but the side effects that were shown from those trials included liver problems, decreased appetite,
yikes,
increased infection, increased rash, lethargy, worsening depression and suicide ideation. So it comes with a risk. There's no doubt.
So oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, and in a couple minutes, we'll talk to a doctor from Harvard and Beth Israel, who's looked a little bit more at some of these gaps, again, in research that you mentioned, Dr. Glassman. But let's go back to our listeners for the moment. Frederick's calling from Amherst. Hi, Frederick. Go ahead. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm actually just going through security at the airport, but I'll step back.
Oh, thank you so much, Frederick.
So, no problem. So just so you know, just to give you a bit of background, I'm a lawyer at Duane Morris, which is a national law firm, and I head our food and drug practice there. And I just want to make a couple corrections. One, CBD is not a dietary supplement. The FDA has made that clear. CBD is an active pharmaceutical ingredient ever since Epidiolex has been approved. And so we can't really call it a dietary supplement. And dietary supplements are regulated. They're regulated by the FDA. They're just regulated differently than pharmaceutical products.
I see. So, so Frederick, let me just jump in, and I apologize. I'm so glad you called. So I misspoke earlier when I called it. I said something like other dietary supplements. You're saying it is not a dietary supplement. So what is it that
not
you said?
A dietary
how is it? How is it labeled then by the government?
The FDA considers it an active pharmaceutical ingredient ever since the approval of Epidiolex. It's the thing in Epidiolex that makes Epidiolex work.
Okay.
And I was really glad to hear your earlier caller say that they're really careful about making claims, because making claims is a big no-no with the FDA when it comes to CBD. And we got to remember, while it may be legal in New Hampshire, it's not legal nationwide.
Okay, so other states,
and
Frederick, have different rules around CBD?
Right, and the federal government has not legalized it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the FDA's position has been fairly consistently that they're going to exercise what's known as enforcement discretion, which is they're going to look at what the state laws say, they're going to look at what the person's doing, and then they're going to decide whether or not they're going to enforce the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, and in what manner they may enforce the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act against somebody marketing CBD.
Well, Frederick, hold on a second. I'm so glad you called, and I don't want to make you late for your flight, but it's really interesting to hear from a lawyer who works with the FDA. And Dr. Glassman, go ahead, jump in.
Sure, yep. So think about a three-dimensional chess set, and the fact that we've got federal oversight, state oversight. We have the Farm Bill that was actually signed by President Trump in December 2018 that really changed the landscape for how hemp is looked at in the country and CBD derived from hemp, but yet it's still essentially Schedule One in certain situations. So there's a lot of legal definitions that you really need to understand. And you know, I think that Frederick brings a great point, which is, yes, the FDA said that CBD is not a supplement and cannot be marketed as such. And that's really crucial as well.
Okay. And my mistake, and I'm glad you corrected, Dr. Glassman, and you too, Frederick. But boy, making claims, you said, Frederick, is a no-no for the FDA. But that doesn't really seem to be a concern for the people who are marketing this.
I think that's correct. I think people are not as aware of what the legal landscape is. And I think, again, what the FDA has said is if you're solely marketing and distributing it within a state that has legalized it, they may exercise enforcement discretion. But as soon as you start going interstate, they're going to take a much harder look at it.
I see. So selling online, for example.
But even then, I would say if you make what are effectively drug claims, which is to cure, mitigate, or treat a disease, that or alter the structure and function of the body, that if you start making those types of claims and you make them too broadly, that the FDA may say, certainly if you put it on a website and you're offering to sell this stuff nationwide.
Well,
FDA is going to take a hard look at that.
What I noticed with supplements, Frederick, is, you know, there's claims on the label, but then there'll be a little asterisk and it'll say, these claims have not been evaluated or approved by the FDA. So,
right. That is one difference, Laura, is that dietary supplements can make what are known as structure function claims,
such as,
we help with joint health. They can't claim to cure arthritis, but they can say we help with joint health. That's also under the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act.
Well, Frederick, we know you're in line at the TSA. I just want to put you on hold for a second, if we could get some contact information from you, because going to be following up on this whole idea about claims and counterclaims and what you can say and what you can't say. So I'm really glad that you called, and we'll get you information there. The FDA does state it is unlawful under the FD&C Act to introduce food containing CBD or THC into interstate commerce, as Frederick said, or to market CBD or THC products as or in dietary supplements. This is because, FDA says, both CBD and THC are active ingredients in FDA-approved drugs and were the subject of substantial clinical investigations before they were marketed as foods or dietary supplements. So there's some a lot of legal uncertainty there, Dr. Glassman, or maybe not uncertainty, but blurring of the lines.
Without a doubt. And there's certainly a large potential market out there for CBD-infused foods and beverages that exist certainly outside of the United States. Right now, there are companies out there that are selling, you know, coffee with CBD in it and iced tea with CBD in it.
And
a
12-year-old could pick that
buy
up.
It anywhere. Exactly. So it really is important to sort of understand that, you know, the marketing of CBD, you know, could fall into the same trap as other compounds that led to problems. And if you understand how the entire opioid crisis really became a major problem, it's because the way it was marketed in the mid-1990s was not what the FDA was led to believe it would be. Because when they approved OxyContin in 1995, they thought the marketing was going to be similar to MS-Contin from the 1980s. And Purdue Pharma changed the landscape, and we know what's happened since then.
So, you have to give us a little bit more of that backstory,
sure.
Just real quick. So yep. What did the FDA think the marketing was going to be like?
They thought the marketing of OxyContin was going to be similar to MS-Contin, which had come out about a decade before. Really looking at proven and understood uses.
Limited,
exactly. And then, as we know, the marketing of OxyContin and other opioids after that really spun out of control, didn't really talk about the actual long-term effects, downplayed what was happening.
Downplayed the fact that sometimes other medicines could be more effective.
Right. And also the fact that at the same exact time, you had pain as a fifth vital sign, which went through medical organizations connected to Purdue Pharma. So there was a whole concerted effort to increase the demand for the product. And you have to just be really careful that, you know, CBD doesn't go down that same path.
Are you concerned that that might be the case now? I mean, again, I was just in Europe. I saw it everywhere, in every pharmacy. It's all over the place here in New Hampshire. Are you concerned that there's a little bit of a bandwagon effect here?
Not just New Hampshire, but, you know, follow the money. There's a lot of money being looked at for CBD in this country going forward. We know marijuana is going to be a multi-billion dollar industry. There's no doubt. You have to always be concerned about, are you really being told the truth? And is there a reason for potentially the bad effects of a product not being talked about as much?
Speaking of the truth, perfect segue to our next guest, Dr. Glassman. Dr. Kevin Hill is with us. He is the author of Marijuana, the Unbiased Truth About the World's Most Popular Weed. Dr. Hill is also an addiction psychiatrist, director of addiction psychiatry at Beth Israel, and an assistant professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. And Dr. Hill, I know you're a busy guy. We really appreciate you being with us. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Well, I got this earlier from Dr. Glassman, but I'd love to hear from you, too. What's your overall take, Dr. Hill, on this explosion in interest and use of CBD?
Well, I think cannabidiol is an extremely promising compound. And as you're aware, there's an intense interest around it. But unfortunately, with that interest come many myths and sort of mischaracterizations. And I think, you know, catching the last couple minutes of the conversation, I've heard some of the concerns about the somewhat unregulated nature of the marketplace. And I share those concerns. I think that, again, keeping the context in place that there's a tremendous amount of promise, and obviously with one formulation of CBD gaining FDA approval, there is a growing amount of information that we're learning about it, but we need to be careful. I think overall we need to pump the brakes a bit on CBD because we really don't have the level of evidence for its use for the myriad conditions for which it's being used right now. We really need more safety and efficacy data at this point before millions of people use it. And unfortunately, I think CBD is another example in the whole cannabis debate where the policy is out in front of the science. So people are using it very, very widely, and we really have not kept pace with the science. And I think a great example and a place and opportunity for New Hampshire comes into play when you think about what other states have done, where states are profiting from cannabis and ultimately cannabinoids like cannabidiol through tax revenues. You've got many, many companies that are doing very, very well selling these products. And unfortunately, the states nor the companies have done much to advance the science. We have so much interest and people are talking about uses of CBD. But before we really go to widespread implementation, it would be nice to see some people actually try to do the rigorous research that's necessary to prove its efficacy.
Well, and I, you know, pump the brakes, to use your phrase, Dr. Hill. Seems like the horse is already out of the barn. Brakes do not seem to be pumped here. So
what would that look like? But I think that, you know, doing this type of thing that you're trying to do, trying to educate people, trying to get them to understand, again, while there is tremendous promise, while there are randomized controlled trials that show efficacy for the two pediatric epilepsy conditions for which the approved version of cannabidiol, you know, was FDA approved, I think we need to understand that for these other conditions that people are so eager to use CBD for, really don't have that evidence. And we don't really know how CBD will affect people long term. We really don't have much information about drug-drug interactions. And one of the issues that I often talk about is this idea that you have people who want to use CBD instead of treatments that are evidence-based. And that's where a relatively harmless substance, so far the data seem to indicate that for the most part CBD in and of itself is relatively safe, but if you're using it to treat a very bad depression, for example, instead of evidence-based treatments, then it can be a dangerous situation. And you may have talked about in the first half of the show the other aspect of the sort of supplement arena, and the fact that, you know, the data has shown, there have been a couple of papers now that have shown that a lot of commercially available CBD products are not accurately labeled.
Yeah, so, we talked about that JAMA study from 2017.
That's right, yeah. So Marcel Bond Miller, who's at the Lambert Center for the Study of Medicinal Cannabis and Hemp, did an important study that showed that only 30% of the products that were available at that time were accurately labeled. There was another paper that came out last year that actually showed that in some of those products, there were other things in the cannabidiol products. There were THC-like compounds or other medicines that you would find in cough syrup. So I think that, unfortunately, because of the unregulated nature of the arena, there can be potential harms with CBD that a lot of people haven't really thought about.
Well, and Dr. Glassman, Dr. Hill, let's go back to our listeners, and then I have a bunch more questions for you. And again, the email here is exchange@nhpr.org. Again, exchange@nhpr.org. We love your questions, comments, personal experiences with CBD. Our number is 1-800-892-6477. And let's go to Chuck in Goffstown. Hi, Chuck. You're on the air. Welcome.
Oh, hey. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead, Chuck.
Subject that's close to me. I'm currently being treated for severe anxiety and depression. And currently I'm being treated with Marinol. For me personally, and I'm not advocating for the legalization of marijuana, I don't want this to be about that. It's more about, you know, treating mental illness with maybe a combination of Marinol, which is a synthetic THC,
yep.
I believe. But as far as like a combination, and the earlier guest was talking about the combination of different cannabinoids, you know, has there been any research or thought about treating mental illness with a combination of different cannabinoids as opposed to just, you know, talking about either legalizing marijuana or, you know, just regular psychotic drugs that they use?
Right. Chuck, thank you so much. Yeah, and Dr. Glassman, you mentioned this earlier that, you know, before everybody jumps on the CBD bandwagon, sometimes it's been shown that a little THC helps, but then that raises its own concerns.
Right,
so go
exactly,
ahead.
Right. So, Chuck, thank you for your call and your information. Yeah, certainly there's been, information looking at using, marijuana, THC, CBD in combination for mental health issues. And I think there's potential there. I think about my friend Ben, who said this past week he started using the inhaled CBD pens to be able to actually calm down some of his anxiety, and it was working for him. So, you know, I think that there is understanding in the medical community that anxiety, depression, PTSD, those are some of the diagnostic areas where we're hoping that that's, you know, THC-CBD combinations or, you know, on their own will provide better relief and better patient outcomes. You know, for all the things we're saying be concerned about with, you know, with CBD, we know there's something there. And I think the mental health side of it is one of the areas where we're hoping we see benefits from.
Yeah, Dr. Hill, love to hear from you really quickly on that, too. I've heard you sort of echo the same sentiment that Dr. Glassman just echoed. You know, we've got concerns. We don't have enough research. But you've also been hopeful that there is something there.
I am hopeful, but when I hear, I think it was Chuck mentioned, my concern in these types of situations is, you know, what type of supervision is occurring by a physician? And so this, you know, becomes very germane to thinking about how medical care is delivered in these cases. So if you are treating anxiety with CBD, my hope would be that you're doing it in concert with a physician that knows you and not a physician that just wrote a medical cannabis certification or without any physician supervision. And so my hope would be that in that type of clinical scenario, you've worked with a doctor that knows you and you've gone through first-line treatments for anxiety, second-line treatments. And I know patients, I have patients who have done that and have turned to cannabidiol in sort of as a last resort in many ways. I think from the animal studies, there's a lot of promise in looking at cannabidiol for anxiety, but it's important to point out that we really haven't had the human studies done to the level that we would like. And I think that's another area in which, again, with patients clamoring for this, we really need to do the rigorous studies to really see whether or not it's efficacious and also if it's safe.
All right. Well, Chuck, thank you very much for that. And good luck, by the way, with your mental health issues. It's tough. Coming up, a lot more of your questions and comments. Our email, exchange@nhpr.org. Our phone number, 1-800-892-6477. You can always contact us on Facebook or Twitter. It's NHPR Exchange. More on CBD, the promises, the hope, the hype in just a moment. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on our show, New Hampshire's Medicaid work requirement. That's tomorrow on The Exchange. This hour, how to sort out fact from fiction when it comes to CBD, the marijuana derivative that's now widely sold and marketed as a cure for all kinds of ailments. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. Or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. With me for the rest of the hour, Dr. Stuart Glassman. He's a rehabilitation medicine physician at Granite Physiatry in Concord. He's represented the New Hampshire Medical Society on the Therapeutic Cannabis Advisory Council. Joining us from Boston, Dr. Kevin Hill, addiction psychiatrist, director of the Division of Addiction Psychiatry at Beth Israel. He's also an assistant professor of psychiatry at Harvard, and he's the author of the book Marijuana, The Unbiased Truth About the World's Most Popular Weed. And both of you, lots and lots of emails and calls, so let's go to them. Glenn wrote us an email, says, I'm a bit of a skeptic about the waves of miracle cure fads that sweep over our culture from time to time. But, Glenn says, my mom has had a seriously debilitating lower back problem that has had her mostly bedridden and screaming in agony when transferring to the toilet or a kitchen chair. Wow, Glenn. Glenn says it was absolutely miserable and heartbreaking for all of us. Then we were referred to a pain doc who specializes in medical marijuana. He prescribed her an oil-based blend of CBD and THC. We've been increasing her doses as ordered until symptomatic relief is achieved. Well, Glenn says, she's mostly comfortable all day, using her walker with just safety assistance. The muscles that were beginning to atrophy are being used and strengthened. Her quality of life is improving every day. The doctor is no quack. The state of New York is way ahead of us on the medical marijuana / CBD front. And all I can say, this has been a godsend. Glenn, thank you so much. And I'm so glad to hear about your mom. That's wonderful. And Dr. Hill, I'm guessing you hear, you know, stories like this all the time.
I do, and it sounds like Glenn's scenario is more of a model and hopefully becomes more mainstream. It sounds like he is looking at options for his mother and exhausting first-line treatment, second-line treatments under the supervision of a pain physician. So, you know, in those cases, it's certainly reasonable to expect to get to a point where you may want to try cannabis, and again, in this case, a combination of THC and CBD. And so I'm glad to hear that it seems to be working.
Wow. Glenn, good to hear from you. And here's one from Joe in Newmarket, who says, every CBD product I've seen in stores and online is quite expensive. How much of that cost is related to the actual cost to manufacture it? And how much is likely to be the price premium manufacturers can now command given its popularity? Joe says, is there data on profit margins on these products? Setting aside the question of efficacy, are consumers being gouged? And I want to hear from both of you on this. Dr. Glassman, yeah. You first. I have myself looked at some of these products. I'm waiting in line at the pharmacy or whatever. And boy, these little teeny containers cost like $40.
Yep. And again,
and I think, how good can that yep. be? Is there gold in there? I don't
right.
know.
And Joe, unfortunately, without a balance sheet or an income statement, we probably couldn't figure out exactly what the costs are for that company. But again, you know, this is market, you know, forces at play. You know, supply and demand, you know, the demand is significant and the supply is going to match it. The price is set based upon what the market will bear. So I think that as the demand continues to be high, the sellers can charge whatever they want. And no one makes you buy it. Buyer beware, enter at your own risk. Watch out for the claims. But yeah, there's no way to say, you know, what is the actual, you know, cost of manufacturing of that product.
Well, and speaking of cost, here's another one from Otto who says, I've heard positive things about CBD and anxiety and stress management and have looked at potentially trying it, but I'm always a little hamstrung by the pricing. Do you know what kind of changes would have to be made to get CBD prescribed by a doctor, covered by insurance? Otto, this is a great question, one I'm sure a lot of listeners have. And Dr. Hill, I'll throw it to you first.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. So as I think was mentioned before, there's one formulation of cannabidiol that is FDA approved, and that is a very expensive formulation, and it's designed specifically for young kids who have certain epilepsy conditions. And so it's going to be very difficult to be able to access that using insurance, I would say. So I wouldn't think that there's an imminent change in the pricing structure or availability of CBD coming anytime soon. And I would also add, and getting back to Joe's comment, I do think there are situations where patients are paying disproportionate to what they're getting. I think an example of that is a lot of the CBD creams that are offered. And so there's no evidence that these are any more efficacious than other over-the-counter preparations like Bengay or Icy Hot. Certainly the cannabidiol is not absorbed into the bloodstream in those situations. So it's really a topical product. And so you're paying a lot of money for a cream that, you know, is essentially similar to something that you can buy for a much lower price over the counter. So I do get worried about that. I mean, I do think, again, as we've talked about, there are many very promising areas, but I do think there are situations where customers are being taken advantage of.
Well, and it's tricky, Dr. Glassman, because, you know, some people might benefit from CBD, but the cost is going to get in the way. So it almost seems like if you have a certain income level and you've got some money to experiment with to see if it works or not, you know, do your own experimentation. But some people, Dr. Glassman, won't ever be able to do that because it's
right.
just too much money.
They can't afford,
it's not going to be covered by insurance.
And they can't afford their medications right now, and they're splitting their insulin doses, and they're rationing their medications. So then how do you put in, you know, another $500 a month for CBD or THC? It's not easy. Could insurance companies at some point set aside a discretionary amount that the patient says, you know what, $1,000 a year, use it as you wish. That's part of your benefit. We're not going to tell you what it has to be spent on. That way they're not really micromanaging what you're using it on. That could be a possibility.
Oh, that's interesting.
But,
yeah.
But again, that's a discussion for a different day.
Yeah, and we did a whole program about a week or two ago on chronic pain and how part of the problem is insurers don't want to cover some of these alternatives. So that's an interesting structure that you mentioned.
Well, again, you know, where where does healthcare have to go in the future? I mean, a lot of things we can talk about for sure.
Yeah.
One thing, just to get back to Glenn's email, he said the doctor was prescribing the oil-based CBD THC compound. It's important to note that the only THC available prescriptions are synthetic THC compounds, and the only CBD is the Epidiolex. So you really can't prescribe CBD or THC except for what I just mentioned. Everything else is basically certifying it, and maybe the doctor is saying to the patient, this is what you should get from your dispensary, but you're not really prescribing it. So just want to clarify that.
So you're taking issue with the use of the word, which a lot of people use, is just prescribe, but that's
not
really the case with medical
marijuana. Right. I don't fault Glenn for saying that. It's just clarifying what the reality is.
All right, let's take another call, both of you. And Ryan's calling in from Dover. Hi, Ryan, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. So earlier the doctor was talking about where the CBD comes from in the plant, and basically the CBD plant is bred to have high CBD and low THC. Sorry, let me just take it off speaker.
That would be good, Ryan.
Okay. Yeah, so low, it's bred to have high CBD, low THC. So that plant is specifically bred to generate high CBD, and basically when you go through a state for, a license to grow hemp, you have to have those plants tested to be below the legal limit of THC.
Sure.
So that's the difference between marijuana and hemp plants, is that the marijuana plant is above that THC. It's bred for high THC, low CBD.
Sure.
And then the hemp plant is bred for high CBD, low THC.
And do you grow hemp here in New Hampshire, Ryan?
No. Unfortunately, in New Hampshire, you're not allowed to grow hemp yet. They did deschedule it with HB 151 before it was federally made legal. But they're still going through the House to create a program for growing. And we'll be growing in Maine, where they've had a program in place for several years now.
All right. Really interesting. Ryan, thank you for the call. And boy, Dr. Hill, this is interesting to hear Ryan talk about the different states and their sort of rules and regs around hemp, which CBD comes from. We also got an email from John in Newington who says, if the farm bill makes CBD legal, how can states make it illegal? So that kind of relates to Ryan's call as well. Can you fill us in, Dr. Hill, on how different states approach this?
Well, I think that, again, I think at the midpoint of the show, you had a lawyer on, and it's very much a gray area right
yeah.
now. You're going to get a lot of different answers depending on who you ask, but I think there was a major change at the end of 2018 with the Farm Bill saying essentially that CBD that's derived from hemp with less than 0.3% THC in the plant would be legal. Prior to that, all CBD except for the Epidiolex that was FDA approved was illegal. So things are moving along. A point that I want to make is that I think a critical step that needs to take place as we're contemplating cannabinoids as medicine is that we need to make sure that our healthcare providers are educated about these compounds and feel more comfortable in talking with patients about it. And so Dr. Glassman was talking about the difference between certification and prescription. And that in the process of certification, I think it would be better if physicians felt more comfortable in talking in greater detail about how patients should use this. As it stands right now, unfortunately, a physician may write a certification for medical cannabis, but a lot of the nitty-gritty details about how it's to be used are left to bud tenders at the dispensaries. And I think that's not the way that we want it to be. I think that physicians need to learn more about this and be able to offer more specific information to patients about how to do this, just as we would for any other medication, right? You don't go to the drugstore and say, hey, show me your cholesterol medications. I'll take this and that, right? You're relying upon your doctor to tell you what to take and how much and for how long, and we need to move towards that with these cannabinoids.
Well, I'm really glad you mentioned that point, Dr. Hill, because I've heard you say, and I'll throw this to you, Dr. Glassman, I've heard you say, Dr. Hill, that, you know, if people are using CBD, they really, really, really need to talk to their doctors because, Dr. Glassman, a lot of people take other medicines these days, and there might be funny interactions with CBD
right.
in those medicines.
You're looking for the interactions. You also want to make sure that if, dosing of the prescription medications decreases because you're getting the effect you're hoping for with the CBD, that you're physicians aware of it. You know, you want to make sure that, you know, patients are really explaining what's happening and how they're feeling and how they're doing. A lot of physicians really couldn't tell a patient what's strain to get at the medical dispensary center, you know. So, you know, on the medical side, I think a lot of the education is happening actually at the dispensaries by non-physicians. That's important to remember. In the free market of CBD, at wherever you get it from, again, I think most physicians will probably not give a lot of, you know, great information because they probably don't feel comfortable really sort of, you know, explaining what they think is going to work in a system that is unregulated and you don't know what you're actually getting, unfortunately.
Boy, it's really tricky, isn't it? So doctors may not know, or they may feel uncomfortable because they don't want to give somebody bad advice. Patients may feel uncomfortable saying, hey, Dr. Glassman, I'm trying this CBD thing, you know. So there's a lot of non-discussion there that isn't happening.
Or just you're discussing it, but you're saying, I can't give you recommendations.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, I don't want to say live free or die, but you choose to do what you want to do.
Well, here's a last email from Rich that I really want to share with you guys. Rich says, there's plenty of evidence about the effectiveness of placebos. If a CBD product is really 100% potato starch, but it works for a sufferer, it is probably safer than a pure CBD product. And how much of the placebo effect do you think is at play here, Dr. Hill?
I think there is definitely a placebo effect, but I don't want to understate the effects you know, I want to give as much attention as possible to the promise of CBD. You know, there are many concerns, as we've talked about, with the labeling, with the lack of education for healthcare providers. But this is a very, very promising compound, and I'm hopeful that as we continue to do the types of research that is required, that we'll have more evidence to support its use for more medical conditions. Until that time, I do think that it's important to be very cautious about how we proceed.
Well, Dr. Hill, it's been really good to have you. Thank you very much for giving us your time.
Thanks for having me.
That's Dr. Kevin Hill from Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center and Harvard Medical School, author of the book Marijuana, The Unbiased Truth About the World's Most Popular Weed. Dr. Glassman, always good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Laura. Glad to be here.
The Exchange is a production of NHPR. Our engineer is Dan Colgan. Our senior producer is Ellen Grimm. Our producers are Jessica Hunt, Christina Phillips, and Ali Oshinsky. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. Be sure to check out our Facebook page. The conversation always continues there on Facebook and at nhpr.org. Also, check out our Instagram. It's NHPR Exchange. There's always some fun behind-the-scenes information, links, photos. So check it out again on Instagram, NHPR Exchange. This is The Exchange on New Hampshire Public Radio.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. Hey, if you like what you heard, spread the word. Please give us a review on iTunes to help other listeners find us. And thanks.